You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for those testimonies. We need to know why churches have stopped asking for testimonies. I will never know, but we need to know what God is doing in our lives, each other's lives. It's an encouragement. It lets us know that God is still there. He's still mindful of our lives and that He cares for us, and to the degree that we'll let Him and ask Him to, the Lord will move in our life. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. If you struggle a lot to walk in the joy and the peace that we are promised as a child of God, it is no fault of God's that you're struggling to walk in joy and peace. The absence of joy and peace indicates that something or some things are either missing in your personal life or they're in short supply. That's why you have a problem with joy and peace. Before the foundation of the earth, and long before the real mess that mankind has brought on itself, Elohim, that's the Hebrew word meaning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as one God, Elohim devised a plan for mankind that contains the minutest of details down to each and every individual man and woman that would be born in this 6,000 to 7,000 year span. The plan of salvation that God implemented through Jesus was and continues to be perfect. Many times I thank the Lord and praise the Lord for His perfect plan. He thought of everything. He didn't leave out anything. Not once has God or will God say, oops, I didn't think of that. Although sometimes when things happen in our life, we think it caught God off guard. Nothing catches God off guard. Nothing at all. The plan of salvation that God implemented through Jesus was and continues to be perfect and contains all the provisions that each individual would need to be saved, to come to both know God and enjoy sweet fellowship with Him, not only as a corporate group of believers like we have this morning. Brother Jerry's right. There's a sweet presence of God here, and He comes to where people love Him and worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the Word of God. That's His promise. But God's provision also includes to come to both know God and enjoy sweet fellowship with God as individuals. You don't have to come to the church meeting to have sweet fellowship with God or to know God. In fact, the greatest part of your fellowship and coming to know God is what you do on your own when it's just you and Him. And the perfect plan of God and the provisions also provide for the finer points of human life, down to even our walking in joy and peace, despite, or in the face of, the myriad of troubles, the many problems that we would each face in our natural lives. You can still have joy and peace. Now, joy is very different than happiness. Happiness has to do with the circumstances of your life. And of course, when things are great, you're happy. When things are not great, you're not happy. You got a long face. But no matter whether things are great or they're not great, you can have joy and peace. God's thought of that. He's provided for that. All that we need in life, those things that we really need, not necessarily all your wants and all your desires and all of those things that you just love to have, but all that we need is made available from the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. In fact, the very last word that God the Father had to say to mankind was Jesus. That's the last thing God said to mankind, was Jesus. Whatever you need, you go to Jesus, and through Him to the Father. Let me prove that to you in the Word of God. And I've just picked three of the several that there are. The very last thing that God said, or informed us of, was that everything we need is in Jesus. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. Listen to this. You're familiar with the story. But maybe you've never heard these particular words as you read this story, as you'll hear them today. Matthew 17, 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, that would be Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Peter was so overwhelmed by what he saw there, and the fact that he actually saw with his own eyes Moses, who the nation revered almost as much as God, and Elisha, one of the greatest of the prophets that walked the earth. In fact, he never died. He was swept away by the chariot of God into heaven and left Elisha to pick up the mantle and go from there. And here, with Jesus, the Son of God, Peter knew he was the Messiah, yet here with Jesus stood Moses. And Elijah too! Wow! He didn't know what to say other than, Lord, wow, why don't we just set up 3 tabernacles for you? One for each of you. You ever get in a situation and you're so awestruck by it, you say dumb things? I have. Yeah. Listen. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, God broke in, God the Father from heaven. He interrupted him. Sometimes God will do that to you. He'll interrupt you. We need to hear what he has to say when he does that. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, and you need to hear this, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Now that in no way is to tell us that we should not read and understand and study what Moses wrote, and it's not in any way construed for us to mean that we should disregard the prophets of the Old Testament. Not at all. But God was placing His seal of approval upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that we should pay attention to what He says, what He does, where He goes, because He is the one we're to follow. So there God spoke from heaven and said, "This is My Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they'd lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. The last thing God said to us was Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, that would be Elijah and the like, and Moses. Moses was a prophet. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. If you've ever wondered if there are other worlds, there's your answer. Jesus made them all. Verse 3, Jesus, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Verse 2 says, hath in these last days spoken unto us, how? By Jesus. God's last word to us is, go to My Son. Hear what He has to say. Look what He says. Look how He does things. Look where He goes. Look where He doesn't go. Jesus. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us fitting, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, God in the flesh, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Verse 17, and He is before all things. That means He is preeminent. He is number one. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence, the very first place. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. We need to rely more on Jesus, dear ones, for everything. Doctors are important. Sometimes attorneys are needed in our life. The fire and police help that we can call on are important to us. But I hope you know that the first call you should always make, especially when troublesome time comes, is to Jesus. I mean, even as you're dialing 911 for police or fire help, you'd be talking to the Lord first. It makes a difference. The last thing the Father said that we need to pay attention to is, Jesus is My Son, My only beloved Son, only begotten Son. Hear ye Him. And so, if you are a troubled soul almost all the time, or it seems to be all the time, feels like it's all the time that you're troubled, if you long for, and it seems like you live for, those rare moments of happiness Remember, when all the conditions are perfect and you can finally say, oh, life is good. If you live, you long for and live for those rare moments of happiness, and if you've been thinking that God's Word does not apply to your life, there is some good news coming your way today and in this message, however long it is. On the one hand, if you are not truly born again, I can't speak about other countries. I suspect it's similar, but it's especially the case in America. Our churches are full of people that go there week after week after week and are not born again and don't even know it. They were raised in a Christian family but have never given their life to Jesus. They're just used to going to church. They're used to doing spirit-religious things. They walk the walk. They talk the talk, but they're not saved. Many of them don't even know it. I had a conversation not long ago with a young man who was walking the walk and talking the talk, supposedly, and when it come right down to it, he admitted to me, I'm not a Christian. Though he's in church week after week, most weeks. If you're not truly born again, the things we'll be talking about do not apply to you. But they can. You must be born again having surrendered your whole life, not just pieces of it, not just the parts that you're unhappy with, your whole life. You must surrender your whole life to the Lord and be living for God each day to have the promises that His written Word says you can have. In fact, we'll say something again that you should have heard here many times already. The promises of God's Word are not for the worldly you. That part of you that Jesus hasn't been able to transform. That part of you that likes to sin. That part of you that's sorry when you sin, but you're only sorry when you got caught. The promises of God's Word are not for the sinful creature that is you, the carnal, the fleshly, that still lives in you. The promises of God, if you're more sinner than you are saint, you're probably not going to see many of the promises of God fulfilled in your life till that changes. We've addressed that many times in the last 6 months in many ways. Basically, we're called to stop sinning. Well, we stop sinning and begin to live toward the goal of holiness, then those promises really begin to kick into effect for us. But if you're not interested in living for God, you're not going to have many of those promises. Oh, a few may come to pass for you just out of God's grace, His undeserved favor upon your life. God does do that from time to time. But for the things that you'd look in the Word and say, well, I want that, and I want that, and I want that, but you continue to sin on your own, most of those things you cannot have because God isn't going to spoil that sinful creature that Jesus was sent to die with the promises of God's Word too. It's one or the other. The promises of God's Word are not for the worldly you, but for the spiritual you, the maturing you, the new man, the Bible calls it, the new creature, the Bible calls it, and we're understanding by the Bible that it is the holy you, when that becomes the majority of who you are. Then those promises are like a bank account that's now got your name on it, that you can write checks against. Now, if you have sincerely surrendered to God, and you do not have an abiding joy and a pervading peace, and many of the other blessings that you have heard are for His redeemed, the matter is simple to diagnose. Why do we go to the doctor? Something is not quite right, and so we want somebody that knows more than we do, understands the human body, to diagnose, to ask questions, to poke, to prod, to tap. These days, they not only do that, they send videos, cameras up one end and down the other to try and diagnose what's wrong, what's ailing you, if it's not apparent. The matter is simple to diagnose if you don't have abiding joy and pervading peace and many of the other blessings that you have heard are for His redeemed. The matter is simple to diagnose. You are out of step with God's plan for your particular life. You're out of step with God. You're not in step with God. You're out of step. You're behind. Maybe you're not even following very closely or at all. That's the problem. Why you don't have joy and peace and many of the other blessings. I pick joy and peace because they're two of the things that most Christians find elusive. Maybe for a fraction of a moment here and there they are at peace and they have the joy of the Lord, but for the most part it just escapes them. And that's because they're out of step with God. And again, that's not God's fault. He's made provision for everything in your life to be successful spiritually, to be victorious spiritually, to have the blessings that He's told us. And that's why we're calling this series Being in Step with God. If you get in step with God, will everything be fresh coffee? Will everything be fresh coffee and come up roses each and every morning? No. Not at all. But by being in step with God, you are able to face the issues of life with joy in your heart and peace about how things are, no matter how things are. If you're in step with God. That's what we're going to be talking about in these few weeks. I don't know how long this will be. That's up to God. But if you're in step with God, you can have the joy and the peace and many of the other things that you might long for begin to be yours consistently, all the time. Now let me just share some passages about joy and peace and being in step with God and how good that is. Some of them you're very familiar with. I hope all of them you're very familiar with, but this first one especially. If you're submitted to God and you're close to God, these are the kinds of things that you will enjoy. If you're in step with God, David gave us a great one, Psalm 23. Listen to this. This is a man that was in step with God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's hardly an American today that would be able to say that. They're full of wants. And when they get it, they want more. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That doesn't mean death can't have its way. It just means He's not afraid of it. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff. I like to think of that as His Word and His Spirit. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, listen to this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now he's talking about this life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a man that made mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. But that's a man that was in step with God. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Paul wrote, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." And then he says in 15:13 of Romans, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Be in step with God, and these things are for you. Believe me, we're coming into a time, a period, where you're going to want joy and peace when everything around us is falling apart or being taken from us or separated away from us or we're having to do without the first time in our life. You're going to want joy and peace that is God's from God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I'm glad it's there, not in our local bank. I read just this last week, 90 banks that received bailout money have missed their repayments of that money. So they were in trouble, they got help, and they're still in so much trouble, they can't make their payments back to the federal government. And that's just a small indication of how most of the households in America are struggling. Credit card defaults are on the rise. Foreclosures are at the highest that they have ever been. Ever. Aren't you glad that as we live for God, our treasure is in a place where it's safe? It's not devalued. It's not confiscated. Doesn't get rust on it or tarnish. It's going to be there in its glory should you've earned it here when you get there. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. That has to do with joy. Rejoice is a word that comes from the word joy. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. When? When things are going great. No, look it. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. They're having trouble and they're rejoicing. They have joy. Verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. For those things, the people that Peter was writing to, they had learned to walk in step with their God, even though they had trouble. Living in step with God requires that you be a disciple. That means a disciplined one. Basically, that means you understand and you accept that you are a sinner being saved by God's grace daily. It means that you have sincerely surrendered your life to Him and you live each day with the understanding that you do not belong to yourself any longer, although you never did. It does come as an understanding, a revelation that I now belong to God. This body belongs to God. This soul belongs to God. My spirit was brought alive when I accepted Jesus and began to believe in Him and walk in His way. They all belong to God. Everything we use here may be in our name, Sister Gail's and mine, but it belongs to God. God arranged for all this. We bought this place in 1994, and we thought, what in the world are we going to do with a 100-foot by 24-foot shop building that's not finished, and it's full of spiders and mice? By the way, you'd be surprised how much junk you can put in a building like this. But look at it now. For 10 years now, this has been a place of worship, teaching, prayer, education. I marvel that God arranged the whole thing. And here I thought it was our bright idea to come out here and live at this place. God had it all arranged. It all belongs to God. But there comes a realization in your life that, for the first time, I belong to God. I am God's. I belong to God. I should take care of this temple. I should do what I can to cooperate with His Holy Spirit to transform this soul that is me. And I should use my spirit to worship Him and to be in communion with Him and to allow more of His Spirit to live there. A disciplined one means that you have adopted the head attitude up here and the heart attitude down here. It means that you've adopted the head and the heart attitude of one who wants to know God as a person. He's not out there somewhere and one day you'll have to face Him. He is right here within you and He wants you to come to know Him. We are to know God. And you get to a place where if you've truly surrendered to Him, you want to know Him. And you want to know what God has to say about everything. Lord, what do you have to say about this? What's your word say about that? As I've come to know the word, the first thing my mind automatically now defaults to when a situation arises, a question of this or a question of that, I think, what's the word say? And I find answers. Even the word of God is perfect. The King James Version, I should say. Oh, you may have a conflict with a word or two here or there, but in general, the source was maintained by God, and the men that He used in the 1600s to put it into English were blessed by God. Do you know that every word in the King James Version was checked 14 different times to make sure that it was the right word by some of the most knowledgeable Christian scholars on the Word of God that lived. It was checked 14 different times, and if there was any question about a word, they would all go back to the drawing board to make sure that they had chosen the right word. And do you know how many hundreds of thousands of words there are in the King James Version? And yet the new translations today, now you got me started. The new translations today, they just put in a word that they, this makes better sense. Oh, this is easier. Oh, this doesn't bring so much guilt and condemnation. Oh, this, let's get this word sin out of the way and put something else in there. We don't want people to feel bad about their lives. It's because people's lives were so bad that Jesus had to die on the cross. Anyway, it means if you're a disciplined one, if you're wholly surrendered to God, you have adopted the head and the heart attitude of one who wants to know God as a person, know what God has to say about everything, and don't forget this part, you are willing to be obedient to it. That's if you're truly born again and you're surrendered to God. That's the way you are. And if that's not the way you are sitting here today, that's the way you need to want to be. Ask the Lord to give you the want to. Remember, you got to have the want to. Ask the Lord to give you the want to become that kind of person. And He will, if you're sincere. A disciple comes to the place where he or she understands that the rest of his or her life, one must live for God on God's terms and not your own. You live on God's terms. What do you want, Lord? When you and I walk that path, when we walk and live that way, the Lord, by His Spirit, begins a great and a hard work within you to teach us, you and I, to correct us, to tear some things down and to build some things up in us, and to inspire us day by day. And Lord knows, especially now, we need to be inspired regularly. Or as Brother Andrew testified, it's real easy to slip off and take a few days off from God. We can't do that, because a few days turn into a week. And there's an old saying, 7 days without God makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. You can't take any time off from God. It's dangerous now, especially. We need to be inspired by God. Part of what I want to share today is to help you understand you need to be listening to the Holy Spirit so that He can inspire you in so many ways that you and I need. Listen to this. This has some great inspiration in it. You know it well. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. That inspires me to reverence God. To be in awe, true awe, of God. Hallowed be thy name. That inspires me. Thy kingdom come. Oh yes, amen. I'm tired of this. I love the people in my life, even the challenging ones. And I don't mean you. I honestly don't. I mean, there's challenging people in our life, and we love them too. But we're tired of all this. We want Jesus to come. We want His kingdom to come. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Do you realize in heaven, the moment they understand, the angels understand what God wants, it's done. Man, they're off doing it. No question, no putting it in the planner. Well, let's see, I can get to this next Tuesday, God. No, they're off on their way doing it. Daniel prayed. And the angel was dispatched immediately. It took him 3 weeks to get to Daniel because the devil headed him off at the pass. But man, Daniel prayed. God answered. The angel was on his way. Thy will be done in my life. As it is in heaven, O God. Give us this day our daily bread. And that just doesn't mean your bacon, almost said bacon and eggs. Your turkey bacon and eggs. Okay? It's not just about the food that you stick in your mouth. It's about the food that you feed your spirit. And God has something for you daily. Daily bread. Just like the Israelites went out into the wilderness each morning and gathered up the manna that had come overnight. The Lord lays manna around for us, spiritual manna, each day. And if you'll be aware of it, you'll find it and it'll feed you. Spiritually speaking, it's including that. I'm inspired to look for it. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. There's so much in there that is inspiring, and the Holy Spirit uses that from time to time. Oh, remember this phrase. Remember this prayer. And it gives me strength. John 14, verse 12. Let me read this to you. Verily, verily, Jesus said, I say unto him, unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Wow. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. I'm looking for that to happen. In my life, in our meetings, in all places where there's genuine, born-again, God-loving, Word-living people. And I hope that He can use me to do those things. But if it's you, I'll be happy to see it happen. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow. That ought to lift your spirit. Verse 25 of chapter 14. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Why does he do that? He does that to inspire you, to teach you, to correct you, to build some things up that are weak, to tear some things down that shouldn't be there anymore. That's why he brings these things to remembrance. Oh, whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because he said that, I am strengthened, I am encouraged. Chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, by the way, that is the Holy Spirit, if you're not familiar with that term, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he will testify of me. What did we read just minutes ago? The Father said, this is my Son, hear ye him. What does the Holy Spirit do? He testifies of Jesus. The last word God gave us was Jesus. Chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That should lift your hearts, especially when you're having difficulty. The Holy Spirit inspires us to be joyful, to be at peace. The Holy Spirit inspires us to be loving to that person that's a scoundrel. He inspires us to be generous, to be prayerful toward God, and even vocal about the Lord Jesus to others around us. These things become a reality for us as we get better and better about living according to His will for our lives. In other words, we live according to what He wants, which isn't always in line with what we want. But there's such a tremendous benefit when we do things according to His will. That's why this message is named Being in Step with God. It's about doing what God wants, according to His will for our lives. Remember, He has a plan for your life. When you cooperate with Him according to that plan, you're going to have joy and peace. When you don't, you're out of step. There's some things that you can't have. These things become a reality for us as we get better and better about living according to His will for our lives in a day-by-day way and by growing close to Him in fellowship. What did he do in the heat of the day in Genesis chapter 3? He came down and he walked in the garden and talked with Adam and Eve. The Lord loves fellowship with you. He does. That should inspire you alone. God wants fellowship with me. I'm going to set time apart for fellowship with Him. Too many Christians, in fact, most professing Christians, do not know what it is to be inspired by God because they are so distant from Him and ignorant of His written Word. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit within us, we can be urged forward. Go, go, go ahead. March on forward. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we can be certain about His Word. Someone was sharing just recently, wow, I wonder if that can really be counted on. Oh, I wonder if Jesus is really who He says He is. The Holy Spirit gives you confidence in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit inspires us to be able to move by faith and not by sight. The doctor may say this, you're doomed. Get ready to die. But if the Word and the Holy Spirit says something else, say, thank you very much, doctor, send me your bill. My God says I'm going to live. That's living by faith and not by sight, or in this particular case, hearing. The Holy Spirit inspires us to live by faith. And the Holy Spirit inspires us to dare to walk in victory against the world and the devil. And that, dear ones, we're going to need a lot of real soon. To walk in victory no matter what the world says or tries to do or impose upon us, and the devil too. But that takes training our ears to hear, our spiritual ears, to hear the whisperings of God and to walk as He desires. People say, God never talks to me. It's because they've got so much wax in their spiritual ears they couldn't hear Him if he screamed. Have you ever noticed that the devil screams at people through music, through this and through that, and God, the most effective and common way for God to speak to people is by a whisper that you can barely hear. You got to pay attention. You got to be close to God to hear Him talk to you. We need to have our ears tuned to listening to the Holy Spirit. And He will inspire you. He will help you as you stay in step with God. Job 32, verse 6. But Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Seems I've heard that around here a few times too. These young people, you know, they're going to eat those words someday if the Lord tarries. I am young and you are so very old. And ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and durst not show mine opinion. In other words, because he was the young one, he kept his mouth shut. Verse 7, I said, they should speak and the multitude of years should teach wisdom. But, behold the underlying truth. B-U-T. Remember that? Behold the underlying truth. Whenever you hear somebody say, but, everything they just said goes out the window. Now you're going to hear the truth, or the reality of it, right? He said, they should speak. In other words, experience should have some value, and the multitude of years should teach wisdom. But, there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Inspiration means divinely breathed. That's how the Word of God was given to the men that wrote it down. He breathed upon them the mind of God, the thoughts of God, and they wrote it down word for word. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, this is talking about Scripture, but it's still ultimately talking about the Lord. And all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. And it's profitable. Now, if you know the Word and you have the Holy Spirit, He inspires you, and it is profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof. Hey, don't do that. My Word says don't do that. For correction, no, don't go left, go right. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That means mature, grown up. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Being inspired. Here's one way that you can do it. I urge you to do this every day. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You want fresh inspiration? Spend time in fellowship with God, and part of that is praying in your heavenly language. He builds you up. You may not see where it happens or understand where He's done it, but He has done it. And you need it. I am so very grateful to the Lord because the Holy Spirit inspires me a lot. That is why I hope that you know I am not bragging about this. I'm grateful to God, and it is to His glory that I can make this statement. That is why there is fresh spiritual bread for you each and every week, and has been for 12 years since we've been doing this. I have never once to our church family preached the same message twice. Do you know that there's some preachers, many preachers in the world, but especially in America, they've got a book of sermons that lasts about 2 years. And when they get to the end of 2 years, they ask for a transfer so they can go somewhere else and preach that same stuff all over again. Because they're not inspired by God. Do you know there's preachers today that download their weekly sermons from Rick Warren's website, who, by the way, is leading hundreds and thousands astray? And yet preachers today aren't going to God for their fresh bread. They're going to Rick Warren, who is a New World Order guy, claiming to be anointed. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24 and other places? Beware that you're not deceived by those who say, I am Christ. I am anointed. I have never preached another man's sermon or used message outlines from off the internet or a sermon outlines book. Although someone's comment or a general phrase or remark have inspired me to go off and develop and understand an entire series of messages that I've turned around and shared with you. The Lord is faithful to breathe life into my spirit regularly, from which I learn of Him, I understand more of His ways, and better comprehend more of the Holy Bible. He does that by speaking the Word to me. That's why it's so important for you to read it for yourself. He uses it to defend you. It's the sword of the Spirit, and He uses it to talk to you. He does that through my experiences, both good and bad. He inspires me. And with the words of Christian songs. Many times, Brother Andrew just shared this morning how he was touched by a song. He was touched in a bad way, huh? Wow, the song said this, and I realized I wasn't who it was describing. The Lord helps me with song. And these are just a few of the ways that the Lord really inspires me and speaks to me and encourages me and challenges me. This message that I'm going to share today and in these next 2 or 3 weeks, however long it is, this message is the result of Him whispering to me some things because of a song that we've just begun singing here. In fact, we sang it this morning on purpose. All for Jesus. The words, even though some of them are repeated, the words are this: Jesus, all for Jesus. All I am and have and ever hope to be. All my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these into Your hands. For it's only in Your will that I am free. Yes, it's only in Your will that I am free. Jesus, all for Jesus. All I am and have and ever hope to be. It's a wonderful Robin Marks song. I don't know if he wrote it, but he sings it on one of his several of his CDs. Man, that's so sweet to my soul. All the words of that song help me better understand that my perfect place before God needs some work. I'm not there yet. As Paul said, Philippians 3, I'm not there yet. I have a lot of work to do. Or I should say the Holy Spirit does. All I have to do is cooperate. The words offer guidance to my heart regarding areas of my life that still need to be more in tune with God's heart. Now, I know many of you young people don't even know what it is to tune a radio, right? You don't use radios. You download everything off the internet. You know, one channel fits all. But for us older folks, you know, those of us over 40, Of course, some of you are so young that anybody over 20 is old. But for us older folks, radio was, you know, a major part of our life, and for some of us, it still is. But the words offer guidance to my heart regarding areas of my life that still need to be more in tune with God's heart. It's like my heart toward God is like a radio. That is not quite dialed in to the exact frequency. So the reception is a bit weak. The flow of understanding is choppy. Or my awareness and participation with heaven's joy toward Elohim has some interference and some static noise. I'm not tuned into heaven perfectly, and so it's not quite clear. But that's not heaven's fault, is it? I've been sloppy with the dial. I've got to get a little more serious about tuning it in just right. It's probably channel 77.7. You know, if it's on 77.6 or 77.8, you'll probably get it, but it's going to be broken and choppy, and you're going to hear some things, and you're going to miss some things. You say, whoa, man, I missed that. What was that? Oh, it's gone. But you dial it in correctly to 77.7 on your spiritual dial, and heaven comes in crystal clear. That's what the Holy Spirit has breathed into my mind and my heart through that simple song. But the phrase that really grabbed me declares these words, "For it's only in your will that I am free." Wow. Man, I hope you think about that this week. If you're not in God's will, you've got some bondage problems. You're in captivity in some areas of your life if you're not walking in His perfect will, if you're not in step with God. Just like it's said that a picture's worth a thousand words, that particular phrase, "For it's only in your will that I am free," exploded in my spirit with both understanding I need to have about God's ways as well as a place I need to grow more mature in. That's what that song, those words did for me at the beckoning of the Holy Spirit. I want to be free. Completely free of the weights that hinder me in the race He has set before me. And so in these lessons on being in step with God, we will examine the Word for understanding on this subject. And I have no doubt that with the understanding the Holy Spirit will give us on this subject, if you've struggled to have joy and peace, if instead discouragement and depression and anxiety have ruled your soul and your home, you can be set free from those things. It will lead to greater joy and deeper peace for you and for me. Hebrews 12, as I close, verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," he's referring to those that were listed in the Hall of Faith in chapter 11, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience," that means perseverance, not giving up, "the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus," there it comes again, "Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him," there's joy again, isn't it? "Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint, fall to the wayside in your own minds." being in step with God. That's the goal of these messages for you and I.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.